Welcome to our journey through the last 4 days before Jesus is crucified. We're calling this Walking with Jesus through his last week, and I'm grateful to have Dr. Wabe Nunley with me. We often do Israel trips like we will this coming November 2021, first 10 days. Any of you can come, as a matter of fact. And we just interact in these kind of ways at various biblical sites. But today we come to an incredibly important place, and it's Thursday. Jesus is going to be crucified the next morning. And we find a progression. We're using Matthew as our baseline and then filling in with the other Gospels. But Matthew, of course, starts with the Passover dinner, or we call it the Last Supper. They're celebrating the Passover when God's judgment passed over the people of Israel and came on Egypt, who had enslaved them, and the firstborn were killed. But if they had the blood of a sacrificed lamb over their doors, then the judgment passed over. Well, Jesus is going to be that sacrificed lamb the next day. How fitting this is that he'd be sacrificed and crucified at Passover so that God's judgment could pass over you and me and our sins could be forgiven. And Jesus would be the sacrificed lamb, and in a sense, God would give up his own firstborn or his one and only son for us. And so it starts there. And then they leave that place of the Last Supper and go back to the foot of the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus has it out with his Heavenly Father in a very surrendered way. Not my will, but your will be done. To me, it's one of the most profound places, Wave, I ever visit in the Holy Land. So what's all happening here?
So just keeping in mind everything that we've looked at in terms of context, because as we've said before, context is so important. In real estate, it's location, location, location. But when you're dealing with communication, and especially the importance is upped when it's God communicating to us in the Word, it's context, context, context. So keep all of that in mind. Let's go to John chapter 18 again, because John 18 verse 1 tells us, when Jesus had finished these words at the Last Supper, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine or the valley of the Kidron. There was a garden into which he entered along with his disciples. So back to our imagery, we're looking from the Temple Mount across the Kidron Valley. We're looking at a very vivid image with, in the center, the Church of All Nations. Just to its left, there's a gated area that's protected with trees that are almost 2,000 years old, olive trees, where we visit regularly, that is called the Garden of Gethsemane. And appropriate that it would be at the bottom of the Mount of Olives, because Gethsemane in Hebrew, Gatchmanim, means the place for pressing olives to make olive oil. So totally appropriate. Again, all of these contexts that we've discussed, these stories are not disembodied legends or myths, but rather they're grounded and rooted in physical reality, which should just really increase all of our trust and faith in them when we see spiritual reality overlaid onto physical reality and turning out absolutely perfect. In fact, even enhancing our understanding of the words of Scripture. So here we have the Garden of Gethsemane. More close inside the garden, you can see the heavy, large trunks of these olive producing trees. Absolutely a beautiful place to visit and also to reflect on these last days and hours of Jesus' life. Jesus had the opportunity to move from one district to another, to leave Judea and go to Galilee, to cross the Jordan River, etc., and to extend his ministry for this three and a half years. But when we get to the point of the garden, Jesus says, "My hour has now come." And so there's no more running. There's no more changing boundaries, going into another person's tetrarchy just to let the heat die down where something had recently happened. We hear this played out in the words of John 18. Judas, had received the, and most of our translations have written in italics, the Roman cohort. The italics telling us that the editors or the translators have added that word in. I would encourage you, as I've done in this slide, to take that out because it's not in the original. It just says that Judas received a band of soldiers. Now, along with officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees. Who were these people then? We don't hear about Roman involvement until the high priests, the chief priests, hand Jesus over to Pilate. Then we have Roman involvement. So this is evidently the temple guard, those who were Levites but were performing the function of soldiers or guards protecting the entrances to the temple and keeping order in the temple courts and the like. So this is a Jewish action, largely a high priestly or chief priestly action against Jesus. So they come, and it says that they came against Jesus bearing lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing everything, went forth to them and said, "Who are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." And he said, "You got your man. I'm the guy. I am he." Well, again, looking back at the original context, if we're in the Garden of Gethsemane, which is at the base of the Mount of Olives, we're down in the valley of Kidron. These people coming from the chief priests were coming from the area around the Temple Mount. So if you look up that hill to the west, it's very easy to see any group of people. At night, you can see the lights on cars coming around that curve. And you could see Jesus would have somewhere between a 10 and a 20 minute head start on this arresting group before they would ever arrive at the Garden of Gethsemane. So back to that passage in John chapter 18. They came out to him with lanterns, torches, and weapons. So Jesus had all kinds of forewarning that there was an action about to be taken against him. Instead of cutting and running, instead of jumping boundaries, instead of going across the Jordan River or from the area of Herod Antipas to Herod Philip, it says he went forth and said to them. He took divine initiative. He didn't wait to be arrested. He went out and encountered them, and he said, "Who are you looking for?" "Well, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth." "That would be me. You got your man." And they take him into custody. This is Jesus voluntarily laying his life down for us. He said to Pilate, "Nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord." This is a voluntary substitutionary sacrifice that Jesus makes on our behalf. And it starts not on the cross, not even when he was incarcerated. It's going on in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus was faced with a big decision. Matthew has this decision going all the way back to the temptations where the devil says, shows him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, "I'll give them to you if you'll just fall down and worship me." And Jesus refused to take the easy way out. Instead of taking the comfort way, he took the way of self-sacrifice and suffering. Jesus, when he was teaching later in Galilee, taught us what we call the disciples' prayer or the Lord's prayer or the Paternoster. And it says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done here like it's done there." Well, then when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he uses that same language, and he's now living out what he taught to his disciples in the Lord's Prayer. He went a little further beyond them. Matthew 26 says, and it says, he fell on his face and he prayed. He's prostrating himself before the Father. And he says, "My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me, but not what I want, it's what you want." Pastor, this is what we're called to imitate. Not just the teaching of Jesus, but the example that he lived before us. An example of self-sacrifice and a rejection of prioritizing our own convenience and our own comfort in favor of living a life of self-sacrifice like our Master did.
Yeah, that life of self-sacrifice. And of course, being there on the Mount of Olives, he could have scurried up to the top, gone through Bethany, and lost himself completely in the Judean wilderness and escaped. It's self-sacrifice, not my will, Father, but yours be done, because the Father loved us so much. He And he offered his son, and Jesus was willing to follow that. You know, whenever we go to Israel together, that may be a little morbid, but this is always one of my favorite sites. And even that Church of All Nations in the Garden of Gethsemane, they had their altar area is it's an actual rock outcropping that the church is built around, similar to what Jesus might have knelt by or laid on. And there's ironwork like a thorn of crowns around it, and then an altar rail where you can kneel and pray. I've knelt there many times. I've seen my wife kneel there. Spiritual heroes of mine have knelt there. My daughters have knelt there. And that really is the bottom line issue of life. My way or your way, Lord. Or some of us cheat. Your way, Lord, but on my terms. Yeah. Jesus didn't do that either. What self-sacrifice. What abandon to the will of God. And every time I go there, and as we go there, not physically this week on Holy Week, but as we go there on this Thursday, through the text of Scripture and just reimagining all of this in our hearts, may it truly be that moment for surrender.
Amen.
I encourage you. Let's stop holding out on the Lord. Let's stop putting our agendas in front of His. And Jesus gave everything so that you and I could be forgiven, full of the Spirit, know our Creator again, have a future and destiny eternally. And all we have to do is say, okay, God, your will in my life and not mine. I'm going to go your way. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to ask your Spirit to fill my life. And I'm going to ask you to live out your purpose in me. That's the bottom line of life. Your way or God's way. And Jesus prayed, not my will, but your will be done. Thank you for joining us in this week, all the way from the cleansing of the temple, reminding of us how our hearts need to be cleansed, and prophetic of the judgment coming to our world, to on Tuesday, Jesus on the Mount of Olives preaching about his own second coming and the life that he will bring to our world. And then the anointing of oil of Jesus on Wednesday by Mary, speaking of his burial and his death for us, and then the option we have now, the choice it leaves us with. God, not my will, but yours be done. So may the Lord land us there, and may the Lord bless you as we together celebrate Good Friday and Resurrection Sunday together just ahead. God bless you.